The Truth Discovered, Chapter 12, submitted by Brother Harry Whitaker. After many days. The date was Easter 1957. Brother Will Watkins of Treasured Memory and myself were in New Amsterdam, Guyana, to hold in the town hall the first ever series of Christadelphian meetings that place had ever known. We hoped that our efforts at publicity had had their effect. Well, come 7:30 p.m. we should know. At 7:20 p.m. not a soul. At 7:35 p.m. still not a soul. We needn't have worried. Guyanese timekeeping is like that. Another 10 minutes and we had about 10 people to constitute our audience. Said Will, "Come Harry, let's offer a prayer for a good outcome to our meeting." So in a corner behind a dowdy, dusty curtain we prayed. By the time the address was nicely on its way, there was an audience of about 30. It could have been a good deal worse. At meeting's end, people were encouraged to stay and talk, and quite a few did. I made a beeline for one of the most beautiful young Indian women I'd ever set eyes on. She proved to be very intelligent and much impressed with our message. As the months passed, Will made it one of his special ambitions to bring her to an acceptance of our faith in Christ. But it was not to be. He died with his wish concerning her unrealized. It turned out that she was married to a massive bully of a man, a prize fighter. So they said, who threatened to join that religion and I'll beat you till you can't take any more. In a country where wife beating was not uncommon, it would be unwise to treat such words lightly. For the next 5 years, the truth of Christ brought more than one relative of hers to the faith, but she held back. 25 years more and we met again. Again I spoke plain words about the gospel and the personal duty, but apparently to no purpose. Yet a year later, word reached me that the truth of Christ had at last been accepted. And by this time, that obstreperous adversary of the gospel had been laid low by a more powerful adversary. But now, back to that first town hall meeting. When I thought that at last everyone had gone home, there was an ill-clad, quiet man still loitering near the door. He was set on speaking to one of us. He stood there barefooted and twisting a battered old soft hat in his hands. His local vernacular and very soft voice nearly defeated me. But I gathered that what he had heard that night about the resurrection and the second coming of the Lord was already firmly believed. Taken aback, I moved on to other principles of our faith and found he'd already had these also. Yes, he knew how necessary it was, but he hadn't been baptized. Please would we baptize him? Much surprised, I asked a few questions, and I elicited this story. Some 6 or 8 miles out of town, there was a sugar refinery, where his father had been assistant to the chief engineer, an Englishman from London. And these two, on very good terms, had talked religion together a good deal. Years ago, my father told me that if I wanted the right religion, I must find the Christadelphians. And when he died, he left me this book. At this point, he pulled out of his pocket a battered and torn copy of Christendom Astray. I might have known. 6 months later, this humble and likeable man had his wish satisfied. He was baptized. And every Sunday, he was in his place at the meeting, even though the miles were a considerable deterrent. One morning, a few weeks later, I was surprised to see him wearing a pair of shoes. This man had never worn shoes in his life. He wouldn't have found that in Christendom Astray, nor had it been part of his preparation instruction. Perhaps that was his understanding of the beauty of holiness. Back in England, I made inquiries and without difficulty found that the engineer's daughter was herself in the faith, and how glad she was to learn of this response to her father's work.